Welcome once again to Grace Baptist Church, that portion of our service to you we refer to as Sunday school, a time of Bible study. How I do pray that we will all profit from this today and that it will serve as a support to what the pastor brings each week. We want to look at today the perfect law of liberty. And in so doing, we're going to continue to view Jesus Christ, our Lord, as the personification of wisdom. Wisdom as a person is Christ. Christ is wisdom. We saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 24 and 30, the revelation of that truth. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ has been made unto us wisdom from God. Today we want to look at wisdom personified in Christ. Christ as the lawgiver. Proverbs 3:1 begins this way. My son, do not forget my law. My son, do not forget my law. The lawgiver, Christ, says this to the children God has given him. And we must recognize in this gospel age today that law that we spoke of there in Proverbs 3:1, that law is the perfect law of liberty, mentioned twice in the letter of James. That law is none other than the gospel of Christ, as he clearly preached in Luke chapter 4, as it is recorded. He quotes from the book of Isaiah. Christ is at view here. So he, Christ, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. Here we have Christ preaching. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now listen up, folks. To proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Acceptable in Christ. Acceptable as we receive the gospel of Christ, a gospel of liberty. The liberty given by God to his people as a result of the application of the gospel by the Holy Spirit is clearly revealed in the Holy Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom, folks. Liberty. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul speaks of the gospel he preached and the liberty we have in Christ Jesus. Later in that same book, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul instructs us to stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Free from the penalty and the controlling power of sin. Something you cannot do for yourself, folks. And when we reach final glorification, we'll be free from the very presence of sin. Free indeed. And Paul goes on to say, listen, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. And may I add, called to liberty by Christ through the gospel. The law that we look at today, is the perfect law of liberty, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And make no mistake, I pray that you listen to that. Make no mistake, as law, it is commanded and must be obeyed. Christ, in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, is recorded as having commanded, repent and believe in the gospel. That is what he began his ministry preaching. A commandment. Repent and believe the gospel. It was not a request. It was not a suggestion. It was and is today a command. God now commands all humanity everywhere to repent. Acts 17, verse 3. Commandments made by God are meant to be obeyed. And this applies, of course, to Christ's command to repent and believe the one and only gospel of God. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, the other side of that, to disobey the gospel has catastrophic, eternal consequences. 2 Thessalonians, I've read this to you before, going to read it again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, reading from verse 7 through verse 10. This is speaking of when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. That doesn't mean they don't know about God. It means they don't have an intimate relationship with God. And on those who, now listen, and on those, this everlasting destruction, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That doesn't mean away from, as I've explained to you several times, It means that the source of this damnation is the presence of Christ and the power of his glory. Folks, Christ is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. If you go to heaven, Christ is there. If you make your bed in hell, he is there. Read Psalm 139 to find that truth. Now again, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day, that last day, when he'll judge the quick and the dead, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. That testimony, the gospel of Christ, the perfect law of liberty. We're going to see that more and more as we move on here. The perfect law of liberty. Now, with these foundational truths that I hope I have presented to you and you have grasped them through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, we want to look at Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 13 verses. And may we do this today from a gospel age perspective, not as they viewed it thousands of years ago before Christ, but from a gospel age perspective. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 in the first 13 verses. In these verses, the Spirit of Christ speaks through Solomon to the children given by God to Christ. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. My son, do not forget my law. Reviewing this through the eye of the gospel age, with what we know to be true today, do not forget my law, the law of liberty, the gospel. But let your heart keep my commandments. What about the gospel and obeying the gospel? With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. Romans 10:10. But let your heart keep my commands, even the law of liberty, the gospel. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. In the law of liberty, folks, in the gospel of Christ, commanded by God for us to believe, we have eternal life. Peace with God, and then the peace of God as supplied by the Holy Spirit through the fruit of the Holy Spirit that has been spread abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of Christ. As we move on in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Oh my goodness. Mercy and truth forsaking you. We're looking at exactly the opposite in the gospel. In the gospel, mercy and truth meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss. An intimacy that is only known to Christians. who are living in the way of the law of liberty. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And folks, that's exactly what the Spirit of Christ has done for those whom God saves. He writes these things on our hearts by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And the sight of God, of course, is by far most important. And a good understanding here for us as Christians, a good understanding leads to eternal life. 1 John 5:20. Christ has given us an understanding that we might know Him. This is eternal life. Now we move to a portion of Proverbs chapter 3. These two verses, verses 5 and 6, that are so heavily leaned upon today by Christians and for very good reasons. Trust, believe, have faith, rely upon, trust in the Lord, Jehovah Jesus, with all your heart. For with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And lean not to your own understanding. And the meaning there is apart from God. Everything we do must be trusting in Him. Leaning not to our own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. As Christians today, as we view this in the light of the law of liberty, as Christians, we must live our lives this way every day, trusting in the Lord with all our heart, not looking to our own thoughts apart from God, but in all our ways, including Him, being mindful of Christ, praying that He would direct our paths, cause us to know the way in which we should go, Lord Jesus, we pray. Now, we should really not end in that frame of thought there, those verses 5 and 6, without reading verses 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't lean to your own understanding, as those verses just said. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Evil here having to do with being wise in your own eyes to a degree. If we shun being wise in our own eyes, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. A way of saying that things will go better for us because it'll be God directing our paths and not us being wise in our own eyes. I want to look at the book of James very quickly, because here we're going to find more for us to learn from concerning not leaning to our own understanding, but operating through the personification of wisdom itself, Christ, and seeking Him for what we need in being guided. If any of you lacks wisdom, Folks, you don't want to be wise in your own eyes, but if any of you lacks wisdom, and you recognize that, as we all should, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, expecting, because that verse will be true if you wait on the Lord and don't lean to your own understanding. James goes further here in speaking of this topic in the third chapter, beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct his works in the meekness of wisdom, the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. Lean not to your own understanding, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking are, confusion in every evil thing are there. We must be so careful as Christians to acknowledge him in all our ways. Look to Christ and not to ourselves. But the wisdom that is from above, are we asking for wisdom? Are we seeking wisdom? I pray that you listened to last week's message. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now let's move back over to Proverbs 3. Verse 9, and move forward. All of these things we look at in this chapter of Proverbs 3, I'm applying to us as Christians today. Honor the Lord with your possessions. That word honor can be translated glorify. Honor, glorify the Lord with your possessions. Where did you get those possessions? Folks, everything anybody has was made possible by the Lord, by God himself. And with the first fruits of all your increase. As the pastor so often says, retrain your brain with the first fruits of all your increase. When we are increased in any way on the monetary side or with possessions, our first thought should be toward God and giving back to him. In so doing, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. As that was true then, at the writing of that proverb, so with God's church today, it's true. I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Going to read verses 6 through 11. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. We reap what we sow. And here we're thinking of material things. Each one give as he purposes in his heart. Oh my goodness, is Christ in our hearts? Are we led by the Holy Spirit of God, who gives us a heart for God, not grudgingly or of necessity. When we give, we should not give grudgingly or of necessity. In other words, you can't be forced to give and that be as, and that's made acceptable to God. That's not the way it works. For God loves a cheerful giver. You give from the heart. We give from the heart. Oh, God, make our hearts right with you. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all. What does that lead to? That we may have an abundance for every good work. God will supply. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, it's God who provides you that seed by which you might sow toward his work, and bread for food, supply and multiply your seed and increase the fruits of your righteousness. It is righteousness to give with the right heart. Enriched, being enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. It all goes back to glorifying God. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Glorify the Lord, Jehovah Jesus, with your possessions. See all these likenesses in Proverbs chapter 3, which must be applied to us today, who live under the law of liberty, the gospel of Christ. Verse 11, Proverbs 3, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Now I'm just going to direct you now to, for later, to Hebrews chapter 12. This is a mirror image of Hebrews chapter 12 and the instruction given toward enduring chastening. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. I'm going to read this next sentence literally. Nor separate yourself from his correction. Get that? Don't separate yourself from the chastening of the Lord. Don't try to get away from it. Don't try to avoid it. You can't. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. That's why you can't get away from it. As a Christian, if the Lord God loves you as his child, in the sense of being a Christian, redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, that kind of love is going to lead to you and I being corrected, being chastened when we need it. Just as the Father, as a Father, the Son, he is favorable to, another more literal translation. Thanks be to God that we have a heavenly Father who has favored us. As a Christian, we're one of God's favorites. Now that's the way it is. Thanks be to God and his wonderful grace to us. God is favorable to us. My goodness. What a wonderful eternal thought that for the people of God, will be in our hearts for all eternity. Now we move toward closing. Not going to close right away. Moving toward that. Happy the man finding wisdom. I pray you listened to last week's message. Finding wisdom is finding Christ. Happy the man, the human being, finding Christ. If you found Christ, folks, that means he found you. That means he found you and has revealed himself to you. That's finding Christ. And the man gaining, and the human being gaining understanding. Again, looking to 1 John 5:20, what is that understanding? That understanding is to know Christ. To know Christ, which is to know God the Father, which is eternal life. And of course, when we say to know, we mean an intimate knowledge of the Lord God Himself, even the triune God. Now, we do want to close with these closing thoughts. In closing, I want us to continue to view the Old and the New Testaments, as we've just done, in the light of the law of liberty, the gospel commandment. Ecclesiastes 12:13, from the Old Testament seen again through the lens of the law of liberty. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. What were those commandments we spoke of earlier? Keep His commandments. Repent and believe the gospel, the perfect law of liberty. And now, let's view something from the New Testament. Revelation 14:12. Please, please listen closely in how I pray again that the Spirit of God is applying these things to our hearts. Revelation 14:12. Herein is perseverance of the saints. Herein is perseverance of the saints. Speaking of those folks who endure to the end, only those will be saved. Herein is perseverance of the saints. Listen. Those keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. This is the law of liberty, folks. A commandment of God dealing with the faith of Jesus. The perfect law of liberty. These are the ones. Those in who have persevered to the end, keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, these are the ones obeying the perfect law of liberty, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.